I'm here tonight. Glad to see you here. Appreciate you putting forth the effort to be here. And I'm from Oklahoma now because not because that's where I'm live. You know, where you live is not always where you're from. But I hold to that. But I got on the phone the other day and I was talking to some family back here. And they said, "Are you sure this is you?" I said, "This is me, I promise." They said, "You sound so different." I said, "What's wrong with me? I got a cold? I think I sounded right." They said, "You don't talk like you used to. You sound like you're from out there." Well, they say I sound like I'm from back here. So I'm just glad I'm heading to heaven. How about you? And we have been having cooler weather back home. And it's been in the 90s back there. It was up over 100 for so many days. And seriously, it's hard to believe, but people were excited because we was getting a cold front. It was only going to be 102 instead of 109 and 112. That's truth. That's out there. But my little boy, you know, it depends on where you are as to where how hot things are. And, you know, my little boy can be outside playing in that 100-degree weather, and it's all right. Sweat all over underneath his nose and on his brow and across, and he just sweating. So, "You doing okay, son?" "Oh, yeah." Face just as red as it can be. And he can be sitting in here on a pew, on these bales and let the wind blow just a little bit, and he just thinks it's so hot. You know, it depends on where you are as to how hot it really is. But I was thinking about our sister being north of the Mason-Dixon line, and I'll not go too far with that. But I had a preacher friend of mine say that God knows how to send a Yankee to straighten a rebel out. I don't know. God put her up here where we can straighten her out. But, you know, I tell you what, I've been north and south, but I tell you what, the blood of Jesus Christ brings us all together, doesn't it? Amen. I'm glad to see her here tonight. I appreciate her. And now, if she doesn't come back the rest, we know why. No. Amen. I tell you, I'm glad to be in the house of the Lord, aren't you? That's what this is the house of the Lord. And I'm glad that we're two or three are gathered in His name. There He is in the midst of them. I felt the Lord here already tonight. I said I felt the Lord here already tonight. I feel Him right now. I'm glad that the Lord shows up. Not just because of how many people are present, but because He comes to minister to the needs of people. Amen. And I'm glad that there are needs here tonight. And I'm glad we've got a God that can meet them. Praise God. I appreciate the goodness of the Lord. I want my wife to testify. And we'll just see what the Lord will do. Amen.
Well, I'm thankful for the Lord tonight. I was listening to Stacy as she was testifying, and I was actually thinking about this on the way over here because I drove part of the way. And, you know, there's so many times that when we get in circumstances like that, we, you know, no matter what the circumstance is, a lot of times it's our reaction to the circumstance that determines the outcome, you know. And last year we had come out here, and we had our well collapse. We had all kinds of crazy stuff happen. And I was on my way. I work at the hospital sometimes just to fill in, just to help them out, because I happen to know the lady that works up there. And she had called me in, and I was in a really bad mood. And when I was driving, you know, I pray on my way to work, you know, and I'm sitting there saying, "Lord, you know what? This is not fair. I'm packing up. I'm getting out of this town. This is not right." You know, it's all in your attitude. Now, every now and then a preacher's wife can get unsanctified, and that was one of my unsanctified moments. Yeah. And I got up to the floor where I work in the medical surgical, and that night they had kind of turned it into glorified ER because they had so many, they were direct admitting, and that means they just bring them right up to the floor. And so this nurse just yelled at me as soon as I got there, "I need you to go down here, such and such room, go check this person." And that put me in a bad mood, you know. And I get down to that room, and there was a man in this room, and he was just acting crazy. And he grabbed me, and he said, "Please help me, ma'am, please help me. I am so trapped in here." And he was talking about himself. And God smote my heart. I mean, as soon as that man grabbed my shoulders, He smote my heart. And God said, "And you were complaining about?" So many times we complain about in this Christian walk so many things that really, in the end, if God is in control of my life and God is in control of my circumstances, God will see that the outcome comes forth the way it should. And a lot of times when we get upset in those circumstances, it's because our life is not in His hand like it should be. And we're trying to take control of our own life. And I don't know about you, but I want to keep my hand in His hand. And remember that everything that happens is for a reason. And God's hand is, if I will let my life be in His hand, He will always see me through it. I just love the Lord tonight, and I'm thankful for Him.
Do it again.
Well, you may feel down and feel like God somehow forgotten, that you are faced with circumstances you just can't get through. Right now it seems there's no way out, you're going under. Oh, but God proved it time and time again that He'll take care of you. And He'll do it again.
For you, He'll do it again.
If you'll just take a look at where you are now and where you've been, He'll always come through for you.
He's the same now as then.
You may not know
how, you may not know when, but if you do it again,
oh,
and
He'll
do it again
for
you.
Oh, He'll do it again. If you'll just take a look at
where you are now and where you've been,
oh, and
He'll always come through for you.
Things you're going through, He knows how you're hurting. He knows how your heart will have been broken into. You see, He's God of the stars, the sun and the sea. He is your Father. Well, He'll calm the storm. He'll find a way,
yes,
to fix it for you. The things you're going through, He knows how you're hurting. He knows just how your heart had been broken into. He's the God of the stars, the sun and the sea. He is your Father. He'll calm the storm. He'll find some way to fix it for you. Aren't you glad God can do it again and again and again and again? Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that God can do it over and over and over. Amen. There's a lot of times we get ourselves in trouble. And when we get there, we say, Lord, I know it's my fault. I don't deserve for you to help me out this time. And if you're not careful, the devil will try to lean on you and step all over you. And before long, you don't even feel like praising God no more. I want to tell you, God loves you. He cares about you. Amen. When you're down, God doesn't leave you down there. He picks you up. Amen. Hallelujah. And I appreciate Him. Do want to say we appreciate the Stauffers and appreciate their life over the last few years that we've known them anyways. And appreciate the opportunity to be back over here in Yankee land. Amen. Hallelujah. Been out there with the Okies. And we pastor in Arkansas. And somebody asked us, They said, why in the world would you pastor in Arkansas? I said, well, all the heathen need missionaries. Arkansas is, I told them, really only those that abide in the ark shall be saved. Amen. And I don't know about you, but I want to be part of the ark of safety. And I'd like to show somebody else that there is a place. There's a way. And I was talking to a preacher yesterday on my way into Ohio. And we drove all day yesterday and got in just a few minutes before church, actually a whole lot closer to the church time than what we did tonight. And as I was talking to him, and I don't know what you might think, you don't know who he is, so that's all right. You don't have to worry about thinking bad of him. But he said that he got a phone call. He said that somebody at some workplace was saying that there is that God's people really aren't very talented, and they don't really know how to play drums. That was the instrument that he was talking about. He said they really don't know how to play drums. They just get up there and bang around a little bit, but they don't really know what they're doing. And some friends that was working with this fella heard enough of it. I guess this guy plays some kind of, I don't know, out in the world. And he said, they said, we know somebody that knows how to play that plays in church. He said, yeah, right. He said, he can't play. He said, ain't nobody in church knows how to play. They just get up there and beat along, can't keep and measure. And he went on and on and on. And so they called him. They said, brother, this fella says you don't know how to play. And we'd like to do a drum off. He said, a drum off. He said, yeah, we want you both to get together and play and let's see who can play. He said, let me call you back. And he said, I went out to the garage and he said, I began to pray. And I said, God, I'm not going to show my talent off for nobody. I'm not going to brag. He said, God told me when I was standing in that garage, they're not making fun of you. They're making fun of me and my people. So he said, I didn't quite know what to think about that. So he said, I called him up and I said, you're on. We'll do a drum off. He said, so he was going to show up at the music store at a certain time. And he said, when we got there, he said, I told the other fella, go ahead. It's your challenge. You go ahead and play. And the fella said, I ain't playing first. You go ahead. And that preacher said, well, you ain't afraid to play, are you? He said, no, you just go ahead. So he said, I got down there and played. And he said, I made a few mistakes, but I played just drums, no music, just drums. And he said, when I got done, he said, I got off the drums. And that other guy got on there kind of sheepishly, but he got on and he played. When he got done, he said, I just said, can I play one more time? He said, I sat down. He said, you can say whatever you want. But he said, I was there in that music store. And he said, I felt the Lord come down and begin to touch me. And he said, I just began to play. He said, I forgot there was even anybody around. He said, I just began to think of a gospel song. And he said, I was playing to it. I could hear it in my mind as I was thinking about being flying away and going to glory. And he said, I got so caught up. And he said, when I got done, he said, I set the sticks down. And that old boy just shook his head. He said, you know, when I walked out of that place, he said, God began to speak to me. And he said, son, it's not just talent when you're in the church house. It's the touch of God. Him and I want to tell you the talent comes and goes, but the touch of God is what separates me from this old world. Amen. The touch of God. You know what makes me live the way I live? I don't live this way because somebody's taught me this way. It's not just teaching that I live this way. I live this way because I've been touched. Amen. I don't play this way because of talent. Amen. We play this way because of the touch of God. Amen. I want to tell you that when you get somebody in the house of God, whether it's a barn, whether it's a tent, whether it's an old brush arbor or a sanctuary with padded pews and air conditioning, amen, when they get alone and we begin to sing the songs of Zion, and we begin to worship Him and glorify Him, and our hands go up to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I tell you what it is. We're inviting the touch of God to come into this little place where we are and say, Lord, would you touch me one more time? Can somebody shout praise the Lord? Hallelujah. I believe the touch of God is still just as real as it's always been. I remember as a boy, him and even after church, you know what we did when we wanted to have fun? We went to church and we just played music. That's what we did for hours. We just play music and play and play. Amen. And I'll get over here to the Bible here in a few minutes, but we just begin to play and worship God. Amen. And they said we was playing church, but we was enjoying ourselves. We was feeling something that we didn't feel anywhere else. Amen. Just that precious presence of God. I still believe that God's presence is just as real as it's ever been. I still believe that God can save hearts. Amen. And fill them and baptize them with the power of the Holy Ghost. Can you say amen? Yeah. Woo! Yeah. There have been plenty of children that were playing church. Somebody got up and began to shout like Sister So-and-so shouts in church. somebody else begin to testify like brother so-and-so testifies. Amen. And then when they gave the altar call, somebody come up like so-and-so always does. And they kneel down to pray. But this time the Holy Ghost begins to get a hold of that child and fills them with the Holy Ghost playing church. Amen. I'm going to tell you what, this God is still real. And He still wants to move and work in our hearts if we'll open up and let God have His way. Can somebody say amen? I don't know about you, but I didn't come tonight worried about what somebody's going to think. I come tonight that I can lift up the name of Jesus. Woo! Hallelujah. I sure appreciate Him tonight. I'm looking forward to what the Lord's going to do. And I was about ready to get up and just pat you on the back and tell you to keep on going, brother. He's doing a good job. I want you to turn to the book of John chapter 5, if you would. I want you to turn to the book of John chapter 5. Do you want to say we appreciate the accommodations? And appreciate Brother Mike for opening up his home. And I asked my daughter, I said, Sissy, what do you think about this traveling and preaching? My other daughter's already told me what she thinks. And so I was asking this child, and she says, well, I tell you, I just love it when we go from house to house. I just love it. And so we appreciate Brother Mike for allowing children to come into his home. I'm going to do my best to make them toe the line, but we never know where they're going to toe it to. And so we're just going to try to help them a little while. Book of John chapter 5. Do want to say we appreciate the visitors, those that we're not as acquainted with. We do hope that you'll come back and give me at least one more chance. Let the Lord have His way. Amen. Book of John chapter 5 and verse 1, when you find it, if you'd stand. John chapter 5. Appreciate the invitation to come. And I'll tell you what, I didn't come to try to get you oohing and aahing over the preaching. You've already had two good preachers come in and do that. Now it's just time to get down and get something simple and say, Lord, touch me this last week. Amen. Yeah. Book of John chapter 5 and verse 1. After this, there was a feast of the Jews. Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. And in these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, of halt, of withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the waters, and whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in, was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the reading of your word. Lord, already tonight, this passage has been mentioned. Lord, not by me, but by the Holy Ghost through another vessel. Lord, one more time, the Holy Ghost wants to speak through another vessel. God, I pray that the anointing of God would come down and arrest our hearts. Lord, tonight we ask, Lord, for a special visitation of the Holy Ghost. God, would you move and work in this place? God, I know that there's needs here tonight, and I'm asking, oh Lord, God, that you'd make yourself so real to each and every one of us. God, come down and dwell amongst us, Lord, right here. Lord, upon the mercy seat, touch us one more time. Lord, be with me, Lord, in the midst of my infirmities, Lord, and give me strength. God, to be able to share your word. Father, we'll thank you for it, Lord. Bless us and help us and unify us together in the faith. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Can somebody shout amen? Amen. 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 You may be seated. I know the pastor's mentioned this passage already. And that's not why I come to preach this. It's the only thing I've got right now. And so I want to share it with you. This is what the Lord laid on my heart as I was driving the miles. Amen. This is what the Lord laid on my heart for you. You're not here by accident. You're here by divine appointment. Amen. And I believe anybody that hears this message tonight is here because this is what the Lord wants to tell you. Amen. And this is a familiar passage to most of us. I'm not planning on picking something out of this that you ain't ever heard, but I'd sure like for the Lord to apply it to our hearts in such a way that we're able to benefit from it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I was looking at this passage, and I want to read, before I kind of introduction here, before I get down to where I want to preach, I was reading here, the Bible said, in these lay a great multitude of folk under these porches, this place of Bethesda, this house of mercy. Aren't you glad for the mercy of God? Amen. Doesn't matter how many years you've been saved. Doesn't matter how long you've been in church. There ain't any of us that deserve the presence of God. Ain't none of us deserve this blessing, the power of God that He brings. Amen. But I was thinking about Bethesda, and the Bible said that they had five porches, and in these lay a great multitude of people. There was one young preacher that was preaching, and he wasn't paying attention. He said, in these lay a great multitude of important folk. Well, I do believe that these impotent folk were important folk. Amen. I believe that every one of us here tonight are important to God. It doesn't matter what your last name is. Doesn't matter where you work. Doesn't matter if you've been unemployed for a year. Amen. I want to tell you that you're important to God. Doesn't matter if you've been rejected by many. I do believe tonight that we have been received by the Lord. Hallelujah. The Bible said that they were impotent folk. Some were blind, some were halt, some were withered, and they were waiting for the troubling and the moving of the water. Amen. Waiting for the moving of the water. Amen. I don't know what your need is tonight. You know, we are Pentecostal folk, and some people don't like denominations, and I do. It divides us. No, it doesn't really divide us. Amen. If you're a Christian, you're a Christian no matter what you are. A denomination just lets other people know what you believe, basically. Yeah, amen. But I was thinking about the Pentecostal folk. Amen. And you know what? We have learned on the outside how to look like everything's all right on the inside. Come on, y'all going to help me preach a little while tonight. Amen. Been traveling all day. I'm a little bit weary. So y'all help me a little while here tonight. Amen. You know, we've learned how to smile when somebody said, how you doing, brother? Bless God, the Lord's still on the throne. Of course He is. I didn't ask where the Lord was. I asked, how you doing? Well, I'll tell you what. It could be worse. Sure could. I'm asking you, how you doing? Amen. There's some folks you don't even have to ask them how they're doing, and they go ahead and let you know. I know. I know some of those folk. But I do believe tonight, amen, that no matter how you are talking, amen, no matter what you've been saying, no matter how you present yourself in this church service tonight, amen, sometimes we are physically tired. I know that. Amen, some that work all day long out in the heat, Brother Mike, get tired and feel like the life has been zapped out of us as we sweat all that life out. But I do believe that there's been a lot of times that we've walked into the house of God, and when we come in and find our place to sit, we say, oh God, I'm thankful I'm here. I sure wish the Lord would move and touch me tonight. Come on here. Oh, I sure could use a touch of the Lord. Amen. I've been coming to this service, amen, these last two weekends, needing the Lord to touch me. I want to tell you tonight that He's been here, and maybe you've got exactly what you've needed. Amen. But I wonder tonight, as I was driving Pastor all the way these miles, the only thing that kept running over my mind is somebody has come time and time again to this pool of water. Amen. You sat underneath these porches wanting God to move for you, but you're still laying there when the service is over. Come on here. How many times has God moved so wonderfully and we've said, boy, Brother Dave, I sure wish I'd have got in. That's kind of for me, really, but, you know, maybe tomorrow night. Come on here. You know what the Bible said they's doing? They's waiting for the moving of the water. Oh, if they'll sing that song one more time, Sister Rose. Ted, what you're waiting for is the moving of the water. Come on here. That's what we're waiting on tonight. Waiting on the moving of the water. I want to tell somebody here tonight that God is wanting to move for you. Can you say amen? The Lord still wanting to move for every one of us tonight. There is nothing in this world that can stop God from touching us and helping us. How many times have we come to church and said, boy, I need, you know, those old days when the Holy Ghost was poured out so wonderfully, it saturates you. And before you knew it, it's midnight. You didn't even realize what time it was. And it didn't matter. It didn't matter what time I had to get up for work. It didn't matter the responsibilities I had tomorrow. But now we're just sitting waiting on somebody to have the key for the service. Come on here. Oh, I sure hope the Lord moves tonight. Him and I sure hope. The Bible said in the Old Testament that God would move upon Samson at times. But I don't believe that's what He does today. The Bible said now He comes that He might abide with us. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost is here. Amen. God wants to touch us. Amen. You know, many of us tonight, if I gave you a piece of paper and said, I want you to write out exactly what your need is tonight, you might give me a physical need, but there are some emotional needs. Amen. That there is no letters in the English language that can describe the feelings that I've got in my soul. Amen. I feel so dry sometimes. And I said, Lord, do you even know where I am? Come on here. Amen. I believe somebody else testified tonight and said that they just don't know where. Somebody said, I don't even know where God is. Amen. Where is God? I want to tell you that God is where He always has been. Hallelujah. And there's a place that we can seek and we can find Him. Can you say amen? I believe that verse she's talking about is in the book of Acts. I preached from it last night. Well, aren't you glad He's still there? Hey man, I want to tell you that you can feel Him. Hallelujah. I said you can feel the Lord. He is real. Amen. Not too long ago, my little boy, Jared, Amen, was in church and the Spirit of God began to move. Amen. And he was back in his seat and I said, come on, son, let's go pray. And so I went up there and I began to pray. And after a while, he's a praying and he began to feel something he ain't felt ever before. It was the first time God had ever touched that little boy. A tear began to stream from his little eyes and snot began to roll down and fall from his nose. And after church he said, Daddy, I don't know why I'm crying and I don't know where it's coming from. I said, talk to God a while, son. Why? Because there's going to be days down the road when he may be in his 20s or his 30s or in his 60s and 70s. And he says, where is God? He is at the same place he was when I was a boy. Down at the old fashioned altar. I knelt and prayed and sought God and He heard me. Can somebody say amen? Hey, I don't know what you're feeling, but I'm a feeling the Lord in this house tonight. Hallelujah! Hey, man, I want to tell you, there's an old song that said, Jesus, hold my hand. I need thee every hour. When I kneel in prayer, I hope you'll meet me there. I want to tell you that God is there. Even if you don't have the ability to feel Him. Amen. Even if it feels like you're in a cell, and I can't get out, God is present there. Can you say amen? They were waiting for the moving of the water. Him and I want to come and tell you tonight, you don't need to be waiting. Can you say amen? Come on here. Amen. There's three quick things here in this introduction I want to share with you. First of all, there is the force of the stirring. The Bible said, and the angel of the Lord went down at a certain season and he troubled the water. Amen. The angel is a ministering spirit of God. He brings to us answers. He brings to us what we need. Come on here. I wonder how many times you've been kneeling in an old bale of hay or stretched out across with the hay in your hair and an angel of the Lord came down. I mean, the angel came down and fed old Elijah a little bit of bite that lasted 40 days. I wonder how many times the angel of the Lord has come down and touched you. Oh, come on here. Amen. What is it? He's a ministering spirit. I'm talking about the force of this stirring. Come on here. Amen. The Bible said the first one who stepped in, whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in, amen, was made whole of whatsoever disease they had. Amen. The first one. I find not just the force of the stirring or the first one that did the stepping, but here the Bible talks to us about a friend that was saying something to this man. Amen. The Bible tells us in the book of John chapter 5, Jesus knew that he'd had this infirmity 38 years. Amen. He was in the house of God, but he was not able to receive the benefits of God. He'd been a long time in that case and God said, wilt thou be made whole? I'd like to ask you a question tonight. I'm not going to ask you if you got a need. I know you do. I already know you do. But I just want to ask you a little while tonight, are you still waiting or are you willing? Come on here. Waiting or willing. That's what I'd like to preach on just for a few more minutes. Waiting or willing. How long have we been waiting? Come on here. Amen. How long have we been waiting? Amen. The Bible talks about four leprous men. Amen. That went and they're sitting outside the gate. And they said, why sit we here until we die? You know what they're saying? We've been waiting a long time. Amen. How long am I going to wait? I believe the Bible said, wait on the Lord.
and be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say on the Lord. I believe in waiting on God, but I believe that sometimes, if you're not careful, the devil can get you to the point where you just sit there waiting, and you begin to lose your willpower. You quit willing it. Do you really want to be made? Oh, it'd be nice, but I really don't think it's possible anymore. Heaven, do you really think it's possible for mama to go shouting across the floor? Woo! Come on, here. Well, it's been a mighty long time since I've seen them cut a little rug. Heaven, but I'll tell you, when the Spirit of God begins to move down inside your soul. Heaven, how long have I been waiting? Am I waiting so long that I'm no longer willing? Come on, here. You see, when you're not willing, there's some things that take place. The first thing I notice is that this man had an excuse. Anybody here got an excuse? Well, I'll tell you, I've been to so many services over the last 3 weekends, Pastor. I enjoy going, but I'll tell you, it's getting a little long. And I just don't know. I'm just a little tired, you know. So, preacher, I'm tired. You just have to understand I'm tired. I'm tired. I got up the other day at 3:30 in the morning, got in the car and drove all night until I got to the church at about 20 after 7. Church started at 7:30. And tonight we got up early this morning, drove all day. I know that it's tiring, and I'm not trying to say you're not tired, but don't allow the devil to use that excuse to stop you short from getting what you need. Oh, when I was younger, preacher, I'd have sung a song a little longer. I know last night I was singing until I told my wife I sung till I had no breath in me. Heaven, they done sung it all out of me. I had no more breath than I had to preach. Heaven, but I'm gonna tell you, there's times that our physical body, heaven, begins to wear down. He said, heaven, when there's a troubling, I have no man to put me in, because while I am coming, another get down before me. I have no man. Amen. I want to tell somebody here tonight, you might feel like, well, maybe this preacher can help me. Maybe that preacher can do it for me. Maybe so-and-so. Amen. I want to tell you tonight that they are not your man. But there is one known as the Son of Man. Amen. The Bible said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Oh, come on here. This man had an excuse. I said, this man had an excuse. There's a lot of excuses around, isn't there? Hey, man, we ain't got no complainers in here. No complainers in here, right? Nobody here ever complains? Now you're all getting real quiet on me. You're getting me nervous now. There's an old song in that songbook, that old church hymnal. It says, I am not complaining, every day I'm gaining. Hallelujah. I'm going home. Come on here. Maybe I'm not gaining because I'm too busy complaining. Come on, help me a little while here. Wave your hand at me. Let me know you didn't fall asleep on me yet. Here we go. Heaven, I want to tell you, am I willing or am I waiting? Heaven, this man here had an excuse. The Bible talks about in the book of Luke chapter 14, verses 18 to 20, if you're taking notes. The Bible talks about a man. He said, I want you to invite him to come. And so they invited the first man, and he said, I have bought me a piece of property. I bought me a piece of ground, and I must go. Heaven, he had an excuse concerning a property. Another man had an excuse concerning a pursuit. He said, I have bought me some yokes of oxen and I must go prove them. Amen. And the third man, amen, the Bible said, I have married me a wife. Boy, that's an excuse, isn't it? Hey, man, my wife does good, doesn't she, Brother Mike? She got them already quick tonight. I got me a good wife. Amen. The Bible said, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Amen. I guess hey man, I want to tell you that sometimes, if we're not careful, we will have an excuse. Oh, I'd have got what I needed tonight, but I had a headache. Could you imagine somebody in the hospital room, hey man, there in the emergency room, you ask, well, are you getting any help? No, I got such a headache, I just don't think the doctor can help me with my problem. Come on here. I mean, the blood's running out of his leg. Can I help you? No. Why don't you get somebody else? Come back to me here in about 20 minutes. I got a headache. I'm sure it'll go away. I just took a Tylenol. Come on here. Having blood pooling all around their foot. Just 10 more minutes. I think I'll be okay. Just hold on and I'll come in. No, help me! Heaven, I want to tell you tonight that we know the great physician. Heaven, it doesn't matter what your problem is, whether it's physical, emotional, financial, spiritual. I've got a God that can meet it all. Oh, come on here. Heaven, man has an excuse. But I'm asking you tonight, are you willing or are you still waiting? Come on here.
When the man of God says, raise your hand if you got a need, well, I don't know. I mean, we all got needs, don't we? I'll be all right. I'm okay. Hey, man, no, you're not. Come on. Oh, help me a little while here tonight. How many sinners have you ever, anybody ever here ever talked to a sinner at a church service and tried to get them to pray? Come on. And they say, oh, I'm all right. It's okay. Had a lady miss 3 church services at our church. And I went to visit her. I said, sister, are you doing all right? Oh, I'm fine. Thank you. I said, God either really did something for you in the last 24 hours or you're lying to me because you ain't fine. You done missed 3 services. Are you sure you're okay? I'm concerned about you. Oh, I'll be fine. I said, oh, no, now we're getting closer. I will be fine. All right. A minute ago, you said you was fine. When we get to where we can admit there is a problem. Heaven, I need something. What do I need? I'm okay. Heaven, that's what they said in the book of Revelation, didn't they? Heaven, I've got goods. I've got wealth. I'm all right. Heaven, sister, I'm sitting better off financially now than I was when I was first married. I'm doing all right. Heaven, I got 4 avenues and it's all flowing out. Had a daughter said, give me $5, Dad, please. I need to go in and get something to eat. I was thinking, oh my goodness, 5, 10, 15, 20. Okay, don't tell your sister. Hey, man. No, there's a lot of ways for it to flow out, but I can say I'm doing fine. I'm all right. Come on here. Emma, but some of us need to get down and be honest with God. Lord, I've got a problem. Come on. I wasn't here last year. I was here the year before, but I'll tell you right now, I think it's 2 years ago that I was here, and I see some seats that are empty of some people that were sitting here then. Amen. Come on, help me a little while here tonight. Amen. You know why? Because when they had a situation, when they had a problem, they didn't want to admit that it was a problem. Come on, help me a little while here. Amen. Well, guess what? Tonight, I'm not preaching to them. I'm preaching to you. Amen. I want to tell you tonight, I still love the Lord. I'm still saved. I still got the Holy Ghost. I'm glad. But are you topped off? Come on here. Gas is cheap back home compared to out here. I was complaining about gas back home. What is it, 241? Is it 241? Okay, 341, sorry. Yeah, 341. Thank you. And so I was complaining. I said, my goodness, just a little bit ago it was 329 and 319. Now it's 341. I was complaining. And as I was driving out across the highway on my little phone, I was pushing this little button to tell me where the cheap gas was. And I found it for 356 and I was shouting. And that was a whole lot more than what I got it back home. Come on, y'all with me here? Hey, I seen 379 and 389. I said, honey, we're in trouble. No. I just thought, man, it's expensive. Things change. But God is still the same. And when I seen that 356.9, I wasn't empty. My light wasn't on. But I still drove round and round trying to find that gas station so I could get what they had because it's cheaper. Amen. I'm to tell you that what God has tonight, you listen to me here tonight, what God has for you tonight is a whole lot cheaper than what the world will offer you. It'll cost you a whole lot more and it'll do a whole lot less. Amen. I'm to tell you tonight that somebody needs to get out of their seat and come to this altar and say, I want to get in that water because it is moving. I'm going to stop waiting because I am willing. Can you say, man? Oh, are you waiting or are you willing? Come on here. I mean, the first thing I notice in this passage is the man's excuse. He was complaining. But secondly, the Bible tells us down here in verse 8, I mean, Jesus said unto him, rise, take up thy bed and walk. I see the man's excuse, but I see the master's expression. Come on here. What is he expressing to him? He said, rise, take up your bed and walk. When we're complaining, he's commanding. How many times have you been in church services and you said, preacher, I'm here, but I really don't feel like being here. Come on, y'all here. You still with me here tonight? Hey, man, I want to tell you that there's been a lot of times, Brother Dave, when I have felt that way, that I've come in and I said, Lord, I'm at least doing the best I know. I'm in the house of God, but physically or whatever the excuse may be that the devil's got for me, I just don't feel, but I'm here at least, Brother. I'm there. Hey, man, but I want to tell you that there's been times that I've just been there, that the Lord has come by. Oh, come on here. And I felt him pulling on my heart. I didn't feel like going to that old altar, but I got up out of that
that seat and I went down anyways. And I raised those hands. I didn't care what anybody thought. I needed to touch God. I needed His help. Come on here. And you know what? I was commanded to get up from where I was. We was in Maryland quite a few years ago preaching a revival. And this lady was in her wheelchair. And she'd had back surgery. And it had infection in it. And it just kept seeping. And they had to keep on covering it up. With all these icky looking things that they'd pull. Gross. All that infection. And I said, "Sister, I'm going to pray for you." And I took a couple steps towards her. She said, no, I'm coming to you." And it took her 3 or 4 minutes to make it all the way up to where we were. But I'm going to tell you, it didn't take her that long to get back to her seat when the Lord touched her. God completely healed her, not because of my prayer, but because of her practice. As she stepped out of the seat and came and said, "Lord, I need you. I'm willing to step out from where I am and come to where you are. Lord, I need you." Amen. It doesn't matter my belief system. Doesn't matter sinner or saint. If you'll come to God and say, "Lord, I need you." Oh, come on here. You might have been hurt this last year and said, "You don't know what I'm going through." No, I don't. I have no idea, but I'm gonna tell you, there's a God that does. There's a God that loves you. You don't understand what I'm facing. You don't understand my loneliness. You don't understand the pain that racks my body. No, I don't. But I know that there's a God who does. And the Master says, "Rise." Amen. And walk. Can somebody shout, "Praise the Lord"? All right. Take up your bed and walk. Amen. Many of us are waiting when we should be willing. Amen. When we become willing, we will start walking. Oh, come on. Somebody say amen. You know, I love my children. And that little guy right there, he's got more energy than all of us in this room put together, I think. Amen. He does. He wants to get up and get going. They do so good sitting in that car seat for hours and he don't get to get out. And he does really good, brother. I tell you, he does better than I do sometimes. I stop and get gas, and I tell you, if they don't sneeze fast enough, I'm already on the road and away we go. And you just got to wait. And I don't want to just stop in any bathroom. I want to stop when I'm getting gas, and so I can get at least 400 miles. So you better go when you got to go. And so that little guy gets all this energy in him. He just wants to go. Come on, y'all with me here. He just got all this energy. Sometimes we don't have that energy. Oh, I wish I could preach just like I need to. Hey, man, I want to tell you that there's hurts. There's things that just saps the energy and the life out of us. I want to tell you that there's a Master here that wants us to walk. Now, I want to tell you, if that 2-year-old got to the point where he didn't want to walk anymore, "I don't want to go. Come on, son. Come on. Let's go for a walk." And he doesn't want to walk. He just wants to sit down all the time. You know what I'm going to say? Something's wrong. Come on, help me a little while here. If I said, "What's the matter, son?" "Something's wrong with you, son." "No, I know how to walk, Dad. I can walk. I'm okay. I know how to walk." "Well, come on, son. Let's go for a walk." "Nah, I don't feel like it, Dad. I don't feel up to it." "Well, don't you know how to walk?" I asked our church the other day. I said, "Somebody tell me how to walk." They said, "Put one foot in front of the other." I said, "No. You can talk to a lot of people that try to put one foot in front of the other after a car accident, and their brain damage says that they can't walk and they fall over because they ain't got no balance." Amen. That little boy tried to explain to me how to walk. I was asking everybody else in the church, "How do you walk?" And he got out and he started walking. He showed me how to walk. But if that little boy doesn't want to walk anymore, I begin to say something's wrong with him. He's sick. Check his legs, honey. Make sure that is he broke something? Is he okay? I want to tell you that spiritually, when I quit progressing in God, when I quit walking the way I still love God. I still raise my hands. I still clap. I still sing. But spiritually, I'm not walking. The gifts of the Spirit have not been being used in my life in a while. Come on, y'all still with me here tonight? Amen. They're just needs to be a little bit of a difference. I want to tell you that if we're not careful, we're still waiting when we should be willing. I'm closing. I'm going to hurry. Amen. I believe that God wants me to walk. He wants me to progress. There is the man's excuse. There is the Master's expression. But there is a miraculous exploit. Honey, would you come to the piano? The exploit was not the Master's words, because the Master has spoken many things to me before. The miraculous exploit was that now the man got up and walked. I do believe that sometimes we're complaining while he's commanding. But I believe the most important part for every one of us, church, is we must be complying to what God wants. Comply to him. Do what God wants you to do.
Amen. How many times has God wanted me to come and get prayer? And I've just kind of held back, you know, well, maybe tomorrow night when there's more people, maybe. And I've held back and I've missed my moment of opportunity. Come on, y'all still with me here tonight. I love the Lord, Brother Gibbs. I know you do. And I'm so glad you do. I'm so glad you're here. And the Lord loves you too. But sometimes I can get so used to saying the right things that the one who had the best testimony tonight may be the very one who needs the greatest touch. You know, when somebody has cancer, a lot of times they don't see it. So how do they know? They don't even have pain. How do they find out they have cancer? Something else begins to bother them, and while they're checking them out for that, they find out there's a deeper problem. Or maybe somebody begins to lose their appetite. Says, I'm just not hungry. Man, if Jaredon's not hungry, something's wrong. Took him to work the other day with me, and I said, son, you hungry? He said, yeah. I said, what do you want? He said, two meat. I said, okay, I'll get you two burgers. I ordered him two burgers, and he said, no. He said, two meat. I said, he wants a double hamburger. And he smiles. He said, two of them. 6-year-old. You know what I did? I only had one kid with me, so I said, sure, why not? Got him two double hamburgers, and he ate them both. After a little while, I began to eat something else, and he said, Dad, can I have some ramen noodles, please? I'm not talking about an hour later. I'm talking about 10 minutes later. I said, sure, son, no problem. I said, go get a cup. We got a cup, and he made those ramen noodles. He ate that, too. I pulled out some cookies. I knew he didn't have no more room, and he ate 3 or 4 of those. He used to pick on me for eating a lot. Nah. I want to tell you something, church. When you lose your spiritual appetite. Well, you know I need to read the word tonight, but God understands I'm tired. You're losing your appetite. Something's not right. Still praying, but you know what? There's some folks that are not here tonight just simply because they didn't have the appetite to be here. Are you upset with them? No, they're sick. They're sick and they don't even realize it. But if we can point out to them their diet, if we can look at ourselves and say, you know what? I used to shout a whole lot more and I used to get more excited over the things today that are just become commonplace. You know what? I can say it's because we don't have as many folks nearby or because my heart has been hurt so much by people that have hurt me so bad. Come on. Our hearts have been busted, bruised, and beat. I want to tell somebody, God knows that your heart has. He'd like for somebody to come and step, rise, and walk. You might say, preacher, I'm a minister. I'm a minister's wife. I'm a teacher in my church. Yeah, I know it. And you've been regurgitating from your head instead of teaching from your heart because you've been so bruised. How long has it been that way? Nobody else knows, but Jesus knows you've been a long time in that case. You've been so busy trying to feed somebody else and help somebody else that you haven't turned the gospel spoon your direction and taken some of your own medicine in a while. It's not that you don't love God no more. It's just you're becoming so cluttered with so many things. Hey, man, I want to tell somebody tonight that God wants to bring an exploit your direction. Oh, would you stand with me tonight? I'm done preaching. I'm done. I'm sorry. I'm trying. I want to ask you tonight, are you waiting or are you willing? Think about it. Years ago, when I was a boy, and they had such great moves of God, it wasn't because the preachers were so educated. It wasn't because the music was so talented. It was because we had a lot of people. No, we didn't have a lot of people sometimes in our church services either. But we had people that quit worrying about who was sitting on the pew and who was missing. The whole church service, it's empty. Why aren't they here? Oh Lord, where are they at? I don't understand. I want to tell you tonight that God wants you to get your eyes back on God. This man was looking at the pool and looking at everybody else. Don't look at the pool, look at the Prince of Peace. He'd sure like to touch us tonight. It's always somebody else's night. No, tonight. You know, it's a whole lot easier to pray when somebody's praying with you. I know that. But I want to tell you tonight, it's not your night to be praying with somebody else. Tonight's your turn. I'm waiting. My turn will be one of these times, Brother Stalford. One of these times, it could be my turn. Tonight, Why not? Brother, didn't you say tonight God could really move for us? I heard you testify. I heard you say, said tonight God can move. I want to tell you, God does. God don't want to move for one or two. God wants to touch every single one. The Bible said in the upper room that they were all filled and began to speak with the Holy Ghost. Ah, what happened? Peter began to lay hands on them. No. They just got in that upper room and began to get focused on God. And the Master, amen, told them to rise and come to Him. And they were immediately filled. I want to tell you tonight that if we could get our focus back on God tonight. That verse that you shared about the Lord not being far from us. Amen. The first part of that verse says that He wanted us to seek Him. Them that seek after Him. I tell you what, tonight, well, I sure wish so-and-so was here, and I'll go kneel and pray and be not, you know, I don't want to offend nobody. I'll kneel and pray a while. No, I'm talking about really seeking God. You know, when they talk about a needle in a haystack, we got some haystacks here tonight. And if you was looking for a needle, you wouldn't just say, well, let me see here. I don't think it. You'd be getting in there, putting that thimble on it, tapping and feeling around. Say, touch careful, but it's in there. You start feeling away. Have been trying to find it. You tear it apart. If I told you that in one of these bales I hit a $100 bill, those ropes would be getting cut tonight because everybody'd want the $100 bill. Well, let me see. Nope, it's not in this bale. Let's try the next one. Somebody else is pulling it apart. I want to find out where it is. Amen. I believe tonight that nobody's going to be upset if you come up here and you start pounding on this bale until it's just strolling across the front of this. It ain't going to be no problem. We'll get another bale right back there. Amen. Somebody needs to seek the face of God tonight and say, I am that man that is no longer waiting, but I have become willing, and I know the Master has exactly what I need. Oh, with every head bowed, every eye closed tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed just for a moment tonight. Well, I tell you what, seeing that I come from Oklahoma this time, it doesn't matter to me where you're from. You're my brother and you're my sister, and we need God to help us. Tonight, it doesn't matter what the name of the church is. It's the barn meeting, and you're at home. So I don't believe we got any visitors here tonight. This is our barn meeting. This ain't just Brother Stauffer's. He doesn't just do this for his folks. He invites everybody and anybody that'll come. Everybody's home folk tonight. And I want to ask the home folk, would you raise that hand and say, Brother Gibbs, I'm the one that needs the Lord to touch me. I need a miracle. I need an exploit. I need God to touch me. God bless that hand. Somebody else, I've been waiting just a little long, and I want to become willing. Amen. To be. God bless that hand. Somebody else, amen. I need God. God bless that hand. I am determined to get something from God. Yes, we'll understand it better by and by. But tonight, I need a touch of God. I need the Master to touch me. Anybody else tonight? God bless that hand. I don't know what the need is. It doesn't matter to me. I just know tonight that there's a need in the house, and I'm looking. Somebody else, real quickly, raising that hand straight up, straight down. I need that flowing of the Holy Ghost like they had in the upper room. I need that same power of God that they had so that they could raise that lame man. Come on, somebody else, raise that hand straight up, straight down. You can't get the problem met until we can admit that there's a problem. Somebody else, real quick. Real quick, somebody else. Just tarrying a moment. All right, I tell you what I want us to do. If you raise that hand, would you step out of that seat, come to this altar? Don't worry about who's next to you. Don't worry about nobody else. Come on, step right out and come. Come on, Gibbs kids. Hey man, come on here. Show them how to pray. Come on, come on. Let's find a place to pray. I've got to have you in that
I've got to have you, Lord. I've got to have you in that enough. Lord, I've got to have you in time. Get to. When the wouldn't carry now. Lord, I wouldn't have it any other way, but I've got to have you. Lord, I've got to have you.